Hello everyone. Welcome to Gospel in the Air, a 30-minute devotional program that will inspire and encourage your daily walk with Jesus. May I invite you to join me in this short devotional meditation. May you be enlightened with new insights for living as the Spirit of God reveals His passion for humankind to be saved. That is, that no one should perish, but all will come to repentance. But before we begin our devotion, may I invite you to please join me in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, I praise your name. Thank you for this day, especially this Christmas season, for reminding us of your unlimited love by sending your son to be born in Bethlehem. Yes, Lord, may you always reign in our lives through your Spirit, who convicts us of our faith in Jesus Christ, your Son. May the preaching of your words reach out to everyone who listens to this radio program, especially to them who have not yet committed their faith in Christ. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text for today for our devotion is based on the book of Luke, chapter 2, which narrates the story of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we will look into the real meaning of Christmas. What is it all about? God is all-knowing. He is omniscient. We cannot hide anything from Him. He knows the heart and thought of every man, even though how much one tries to keep His secret. God knows even the length of our days. There is nothing that God cannot know. In Him there is no darkness, and darkness cannot overcome Him. John 1:5. Today we are celebrating the season of Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. As we all know, since our childhood, it was told to us and have been read from the Bible that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. As a result, the whole world rejoices and celebrates this wonderful occasion every year. We already feel the spirit of this season as early in the month of September. Many houses decorate beautifully their houses with glittering lights of lanterns, reminding us of the star that guided the Magi in their search for the baby Jesus. This is the season where we exchange gifts and share our bounty with others. It is a time for family reunion with relatives and friends. The Bible says that Jesus was born in a manger since there was no room available for His parents to stay. Every house was already filled with guests who went ahead of them in Bethlehem because of the census decreed by Augustus Caesar. This happened during the golden age of the Roman Empire, called the Pax Romana, where there was no war, but worldly peace. Under the Roman legal system, every 14 years, the empire requires a census for all its provinces for the purpose of taxation and military enlistment. But for the Jews, only the males are required to register at the birthplace of their parent, particularly their father. This is the reason why Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem, enduring a bumpy and a dusty road with a back-breaking distance of 80 miles, traveling on foot from Nazareth, their hometown. But all of these events and circumstances that they endured were used by God to fulfill His redemptive plan of salvation for humankind. God even used Caesar at this point in history, a powerful king feared by all and considered to be a god by the pagans, to accomplish His plan by sending His son. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy made by Micah in the Old Testament, in chapter 5 and verse 2, saying, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Unquote. Indeed, because of God's great love to the whole world, He wants us to be restored back to Himself from our fallen nature because of the stain of sin committed by our original parents, by promising to us a Savior. Hebrews 2:16. We will be a descendant of Jacob, Numbers 24:17, that will come from the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:10, and rises up from the family of King David, 2 Samuel 7, 1-17, and to be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. It is so hard to think about Mary's situation. For traveling such a very long trip, she's not blind, and I think she's not even stupid not to know everything. Any time from now, she will soon give birth to her child. Seemingly, they have talked it over together with Joseph about the risk and danger of this trip, but what else could they do? They could have no other choice, but firmly decided to leave no matter than to stay home and be the target of a harrowing gossip among their own townsmates. You could just imagine the irreparable damage and the agonizing, indelible imprint of gossip they would have suffered for the rest of their lives had they decided to stay home. And this is what usually happens even among us Christians within our brotherhood. How many have been victimized unknowingly by the same tongue that uses to worship and praise the Almighty God? That very same tongue that sings highly the wonders of God and speaks mightily His ultimate beauty is the same tongue that is being used to destroy and rip the hearts of many souls. How sad and pitiful for Joseph and Mary. We can only empathize with them. They're facing such a dilemma. They have to make a choice between two uncomfortable situations. But God intervened on their behalf and did not allow these things to happen to them. He knows His children, and He will not suffer them. Like Joseph and Mary, who face such a critical moment in their lives, we too are not exempted from various storms of life and experience the same fate as theirs. We thought we are now at the edge of hope and find no peace at all and about to lose our grip to give up. We are just surviving, as if there is no end to our problems. They come one after the other. But Joseph and Mary never lose hope and made a very difficult choice. It was a choice that changed forever the course of human history. It was a choice that broke the wall of enmity between God and man because of sin, but now we are at peace with God. It was a choice that opened the floodgates of heaven to those who would decide to commit their faith in Jesus Christ and make Him to be their Lord and Savior. It was a choice to defeat Satan forever and allowing the marching army of God to advance His cause and continue to unfurl the banner of Jesus Christ on every nation. Yes, it was a choice that you and I will be challenged to see what we can improve and motivate and see what we can change for God's glory and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Mary's unchanging faith in God reverberates resoundingly throughout history and for all the generations to come when we celebrate Christmas by remembering her timid voice, trembling with fear, when she affirmed her faith in God before the angel by saying, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Luke 1:38. Accordingly, the night when Jesus was born, there were shepherds in the field watching over their flock. It seems that the weather condition is good that night. This is somehow negates the idea that it is extremely cold, as claimed by many. If that is the case, it would be very hard to imagine what those shepherds out in the field are doing that night in a very cold weather condition. They would have been dead cold, including their sheep. But the truth is that there is no record whatsoever that Jesus was born exactly on December 25th. But why do we still celebrate Christmas if that is the case? According to history, in AD 274, the King of Rome chose December 25th as the birthday of their pagan god, the Sun, which they considered as their great and almighty God. The pagan would worship the Sun and gave it a name as the Sun of Righteousness. This day of the month is considered as the midwinter date, wherein the sun is at the lowest peak in the southern part of the sky, then it slowly moves northward. This also coincides with the Roman New Year and their planting season. Because of these events, they celebrated by decorating their houses with greenery and lighted candles. As part of their celebration, they gave gifts to the children and to the poor. But the early Christians did not agree with this practice and tradition of celebrating the birth of their pagan sun god. As a response to this, the church convened in AD 336 and instead declared December 25th as the real birthday of Jesus, the Son of Righteousness. This is where the idea of Christmas came about. It is not a doctrine per se, but a response to paganism. In other words, there is a reason to celebrate the birth of the real Savior of the world, the real and only Messiah, and not by any other means or reason for celebrating Christmas. Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. It is all about Him. It is not about gifts, although it is good to share our blessings with others, like what Niklaus, or otherwise known as Santa Claus, is doing. It is not what Christmas is all about. It is not even about food and party, although it is part of our cherished tradition to celebrate with the church, with the family, relatives and friends. Yeah, this is not what Christmas is all about. It is not about decorating our houses and lawns with glittering lights and lanterns, with adorable characters, although they are greatly appreciated and highly admired, reminding us of the wonderful spirit of the season. Yet, Christmas is all about the coming of Jesus Christ, who was born in a lowly manger, in order for you and me to be saved if only you accept Him and make Him to be your Lord and Savior. Yes, this is what Christmas is all about. It is all about the love of God to us by sending Jesus Christ, His Son, to the world for our salvation. Are you not happy then to celebrate Christmas because of this very reason? I hope that you will not miss the very essence of Christmas, and I pray that I was able to make my case clear why we celebrate Christmas even though the Bible is silent on the exact date of the Lord's birthday. In fact, Christmas should be an everyday celebration in the life of every Christian. In those days, shepherds were regarded as the lowest class of people. They were not allowed to testify in court. They were otherwise called the outcast. Yet the irony is that they were the ones used by God to testify the miracle of Christmas. The Bible clearly describes how God dealt with these outcasts in Luke chapter 2 and verses 17 and through 18, saying, "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." Unquote. Probably, we are differently regarded by other people in the community where we reside because of our educational attainment, economic status, health, job, race, language, color, sex, age differences, and other privileges in life. But we have reason to thank God even more after knowing how he singled out those poor and lowly shepherds who were prejudiced by others. Indeed, God is not a respecter of any person. He treats everyone equally in his sight. The birth of Jesus teaches us a lesson that we cannot do anything without God. Everything depends on him. Our life, our whole existence, even beyond death, he holds everything in his hand. Therefore, we have nothing to boast about in this life. Instead, Christmas teaches us to humble ourselves as what Jesus had shown us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 8 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Yes, Jesus came and was born into this world for our sake." This is Christmas. He came to seek us in order for us to be saved. Then, after some time, the wise men or scholars, or what we call the Magi from the east, saw his star, and they guided them until it reached the place where Jesus was laid. And when they found him, they worshiped him and presented their gifts to him in the form of gold, incense, and myrrh. There is no indication whatsoever that they were only three Magi who visited the baby Jesus. Seemingly, they are born of Persian astrologers. In those days, it was their custom that everyone who visits a king must have something of great value to present to him. And this was what they did to Jesus, called the King of the Jews. And here was King Herod of Judea, who was very greedy in holding his most coveted power, and who lusted it for many years. He was greatly troubled because of the news that a new king of the Jews was born in Bethlehem. Here is a king in a wrong time and in a wrong place. Because of the lust for worldly power, he ordered his trusted men to kill all children aged 2 and below in order to make sure that Jesus will have no chance to survive. This is what happened for the first Christmas ever celebrated. It was not joy to the world or silent night, but weeping and great lamentations of mothers whose children were brutally murdered. Matthew 2:18. It was a costly price to be paid that even the innocent ones became victims just because for evil men. Herod represents the devil himself. Satan's purpose since time immemorial is to oppose God. He is a thief who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10. Yet Satan is the defeated enemy. He no longer rules the world, but Christ rules it now. The earth is no longer his kingdom, but now the kingdom of Christ and his church, although right now, we're still waiting the final consummation of everything when Christ will finally make his enemies his footstools. Yes, this is what Christmas is all about. The birth of Jesus means that God has rescued us from the dominion of Satan or darkness and brought us into the kingdom of Jesus, his Son, whom he loves. Colossians 1:13. Oh, how great is the love of God towards humankind. He gave his Son so that we will have a second chance if we have faith in him. He is the light that came in order to brighten our darkened world. Once in our life, we were still in darkness and we walk in it until finally we invited Jesus into our lives and became our Lord and Savior. Yes, this is what Christmas is all about. It is all but our salvation, our second chance to live a life to the full. 1 John 5:11 says, "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." My friend, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the reason for Christmas. He came and was born in a manger just because of you and me. He went through all the circumstances just to seek you and bring you back into the fold of his Father. Why don't you accept him in your life today? This is your chance. Why don't you grab it and commit your faith to him? Only Jesus can save you. Only him can make meaning of your life. This is what Christmas is all about. It is all about his love for you. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for those who listen to the preaching of your words. May you continue to touch their lives and bless them, and that your words will not return empty, but will bring result as you always will. In Jesus' name, amen. It is my prayer that you've been blessed today. Tune in to this program, Gospel in the Air, every Sunday from 7:30 to 8 o'clock in the morning. Gospel in the Air is a radio devotional ministry of Cornerstone Christian Church. If you want to know more about our devotional lesson today, visit our website at www.cornerstonemaui.org, or you can send your text message to this number, 808-463-8859. Again, this is your host, Brother Danny Marantanbango, saying, keep punching the good fight of faith. Mahalo.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow.
I will.